May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Please. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." That's where we started today. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. That's where we ended. For Jesus, it is a journey from exaltation to crucifixion. Hosanna is from the Hebrew meaning "save us." Literally, "save, we pray." That this is the cry that greets him on the way into the holy city of Jerusalem. That indicates that the crowds there were receiving him as the Messiah, as their Savior. But it doesn't take very long for that exalted reception to dissolve and dissipate into abandonment. The result, of course, is crucifixion, a brutal and humiliating death on a cross that has loomed before our Lord ever since he set his sights on and turned his steps toward this holy city. That is his journey. Our journey today is a little bit different. You see, as much as we might like for Jesus to be our point of view character in this narrative, as much as we might want to experience, to see, to understand the events of this story unfolding through his eyes, that is not our role today. Today, just like every other day, we are the crowds. We are the people gathered around Jesus. And our journey takes us from "save us" to "crucify him." How quickly we turn. How does that even happen? Is it inevitable? Is it some fact of human nature that our collective recognition of both the sovereignty and the saving power of God should only sustain us for the briefest of moments? Is it inevitable that faced with the reality of the living God incarnate before us, faced with the possibility of both fully knowing and being fully known by God, that our basest, most craven, and self-serving fears must drive us not only to renounce the God that we just lauded and praised, but to seek to destroy the very incarnation of that God in our midst? If the people who lived and walked and worked beside the incarnate Christ in his earthly ministry could not stay faithful to him in this time of trial, then what hope do we have today? Now, to be fair, it is a little bit artificial what we're doing today, the way liturgically we are compressing these events with our memory of the palms and the memory of the passion. In reality, back in the day, of course, it took a little bit longer than 20 minutes to get from save us to crucify him. That's fair. Even so, if we allow for the matter of days that it actually took, it's still perverse, I think, to go from such a height to such a depth so very quickly. But if our collective human experience is anything to go by, it's also very real. It rings true, doesn't it, that human beings, even such fine folk as ourselves gathered here today, would behave thus. The hard, sobering lesson here is that at any given time, at any moment, in each of our lives, we all of us stand on this very precipice as on the edge of a knife. Now, it may not feel quite so dramatic in our personal lives. It may not seem to have the cosmic scale the same way the scenes we just heard from Scripture have. It may not be as overwhelming as the contrast between save us and crucify him. But the same competing alternatives are always there, right before us, within each of us, moment to moment. It's inescapable. The moment of truth comes when one of two things happens. Either we realize and accept fully and truly our utter dependence upon God, and thus cry out from the depths of our souls, save us. Or we, whether out of fear, or pride, or arrogance, infidelity to God, we decide that we must do whatever it takes to save ourselves, no matter the cost. And we find ourselves shouting with the ravening crowd, crucify him. It will be tempting today and in the week to come to excuse ourselves from the tension and the discomfort of this realization that we are the very ones who crucified, who continue to crucify our Lord. Don't avert your eyes. Don't turn away. Steer into the discomfort. Enter into the unease of Holy Week. Follow Jesus into the holy city. Walk with him the streets of Jerusalem, up to the hill of the skull, up to the cross itself. And there, keep your vigil. For those who would be Christian, it is the only way.